Oasis Audio presents Growing Up Social by Gary Chapman and Arlene Pellicane. Read for you by Chris Fabry. We can be a home on a hill, shining in the lonely darkness. Dr. David Jeremiah from Gifts from God. Introduction. Taking back your home. Is technology bringing your family closer together, or is it driving your family farther apart? Joseph and Amanda have three children, ages 2, 6, and 10. Their kids play video games and watch movies and television all day, except for the time the older kids are in school. Joseph and Amanda are concerned about the amount of time their children spend in front of screens, yet they feel powerless to make a change. We have no guidelines, said Joseph. We did have guidelines, but could not keep them in place. Can you identify with these discouraged parents? Maybe you've tried to limit screen time in the past, but the temper tantrums were too much to bear. We've heard from hundreds of parents who express their frustration with implementing digital guidelines. We have no rules. Our kids watch a lot of TV and play video games. Screen time rules aren't stated, they're implied, and it's not working. I regret not having guidelines because my son missed out on socializing with people face-to-face. He's in his 20s and completely engrossed with being on his computer. You want your adult child to have all the skills necessary to succeed in relationships. The training necessary for growing up social isn't found on a phone or tablet. There's no app or video game that can replace interactions with other human beings. Social skills must be practiced in real life, beginning for a child in the home. Having a social child means your son or daughter will be able to talk to people and like people. You'll be able to relate to others and enjoy activities with friends and family members. Being social isn't just about making small talk in the cafeteria. It involves showing other people you care through eye contact, conversation, and empathy. The ideal place for a child to learn to be social is in his home, where a loving mother or father can model what healthy relationships look like. Unfortunately, there is a subtle shift happening in many homes that is profoundly eroding the relationship between parent and child. The average American child and teenager spends 53 hours a week with media and technology, far more time in front of screens than interacting with parents or people. How is a growing child supposed to learn about getting along with others when the vast majority of her time is spent with a screen? Average isn't working. Teenagers aren't the only demographic prone to peer pressure. Parents are just as quick to get their child the latest digital device to keep up with the family across the street. The other fourth graders have cell phones, so you get your daughter one too. If the other kids are playing a particular violent video game, what's the harm in your son joining in? You wouldn't want him to feel left out. Or maybe you feel bad about plunking your toddler in front of the screen for a few hours each day. But at least all the other kids are watching the same programs. It doesn't take much effort to join the digital crowd and entertain your children with what makes them happy and quiet. We surveyed hundreds of parents about their families and screens. Many reported that screens ran their children's lives, yet they were not concerned. One parent said, "My children can watch as much as they want, usually 4 to 5 hours a day. I'm not concerned, and I don't think it's affected our family dynamic." The presence of screens in the home is so widely accepted that many parents don't even consider them a threat to strong family relationships. Let us take a moment to assure you that this is not an anti-technology book. Technology is here to stay, and we believe you can find positive ways to utilize it for your relationships. No doubt your child is going to use emails, texts, and smartphones as he grows into an adult. These are amazing days when you can video conference grandma in a different country in real time.